For the past 3 weeks, master canoe builder Marvin Defoe has been handcrafting a birch bark canoe from natural materials on site at the Madeline Island Museum, where visitors can watch the process and learn about the significance of birch bark canoes in Ojibwe culture. It's part of a program at the museum called Canoe Journeys to honor and remember the 1854 Treaty of La Pointe, an agreement that stopped the removal of Ojibwe people from the area and secured permanent homelands for the tribes. The canoe is set to take its maiden voyage later this month. Marvin Defoe is a tribal elder with the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. He's been a master canoe builder for more than 50 years. And Mike Wiggins Jr. is previous site director for the Madeline Island Museum and is now working with the museum as a special advisor. They both spoke with WPR's Rochelle Wilson last week.
Marvin, you've been constructing canoes for more than 50 years. What draws you to this traditional craft?
Well, it's started right since I was 18 years old. I love the woods and I love working with my hands. And some people ask me, how did you start making birch bark canoes? Well, my father was a wood carver, and I always spent time out there carving wood. My grandpa, he was a snowshoe maker. So it's kind of right in me, craft and making things. And I got interested in making birch bark canoes. So I started making the Demon.
Marvin, walk us through how these canoes are built. What is the significance of birch bark and these other natural materials you're using?
Well, birch bark certainly is amongst the Ojibwe people a very sacred tree, and it's used for a variety of things, not just birch bark canoes. We use them for different baskets, different vessels, different things, but the materials, certainly I get on the land and I kind of call it, I go to my Anishinaabe Walmart, you know, and what I mean by that is the treaties and the land, we certainly retained our rights, our ancestors did, to be able to gather and harvest the birch bark, and we use cedar, we use white cedar, and jack pine roots, et cetera, with that. So a lot of people, they always ask me, how long did it take you? Have you been working on this canoe? Well, today we've been working on this Demon for 11 days, but months before that, gathering the materials, you know, you can't really buy it at Menards or whatever. You got to go out in the woods and search. And it's getting harder and harder today, gathering the materials for the canoe. These last 2 years have been very difficult gathering birch bark because the birch trees are dying. The climate is changing, the trees are dying, and it's getting very difficult.
Mike, Marvin is building this canoe in front of a live audience and demonstrating his process. It's part of this Canoe Journeys program at the museum. What are you remembering and honoring with this project?
Yeah, with this project, big picture, we were remembering the ancestral Ojibwe connection to Lake Superior, talking through this word passages as a gateway to epic journeys from Madeline Island. And so when we talked about connections to Lake Superior, seasonal lifeways, things like that, the Jimon, the power of the birch bark canoe and that water travel really rose to the top. And one of the most epic journeys that we have in our history is of Chief Buffalo prior to the 1854 treaty, journeying as a 92-year-old leader from a birch bark canoe off Madeline Island all the way out to Washington, D.C. This particular canoe build is calling into mind the memory of that epic journey that the legendary chief made to Washington, D.C. That set the stage for the 1854 treaty, and we're putting lots of thought, lots of prayers, things like that, into the process of birch bark canoe making. Particular note, there were just really beautiful songs with hand drums and things like that sung yesterday, and I'm sure that'll happen again today. But we're remembering the work that was done by the ones that came before us and those connections to Lake Superior.
And Mike, what role do canoes play in the culture of the Great Lakes and the Ojibwe people in general?
Well, it opens the doorway to an old-time paradigm or way of seeing that was just unbelievably powerful in a water-based kind of sense. Our people were in canoes traveling all across the expanse of Lake Superior, interacting with places, you know, like Thunder Bay, Ontario, Agawa area over by Sault Ste. Marie, all the way back through the Madeleine Island. It really made Madeleine Island, and of course our Ojibwe word for Madeleine Island is Moninguinekaning. It made this island a hub of travel, and it ultimately, as a final stopping place in our migration story, the island was the center of the Anishinaabe kind of world. And so the canoe was at the crux of that, from the semi-nomadic lifestyle, moving through the seasons to different areas like berry camps, sugar bush camps, hunting camps, fishing camps. The canoe was the amazing, superb watercraft that allowed our people to be very versatile and to move around the country.
Marvin, take us to today. These canoes are still so important to you, and they hold a spiritual value for you. You've said there's a spirit associated with these canoes. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, it's the spirit of life, spirit of being clean, the spirit of nature. You know, it's right in that canoe. And when you work with nature, it's connected with the bark, connected with the cedar. So that's how I look at it. It's one of the original crafts that was on top of the water of Lake Superior. Now, it's one of the original. It was utilized and had a great significance, certainly to this area, as a major mode of transportation, you know, years ago, before we had roads and steamships and et cetera. That birch bark canoe was a major lifeline to the areas, such as Mike indicated previously.
We're talking with Mike Wiggins, Jr., former site director for the Madeleine Island Museum, where he's now working as special advisor. And Marvin Defoe is with us. He's a tribal elder with the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa and a master canoe builder. He's handcrafting a birch bark canoe as part of a program called Canoe Journeys Seasonal Lifeways at the Madeleine Island Museum. The canoe will eventually be on display at the Wisconsin Historical Society. So, Mike, let's talk a little bit more about Madeleine Island. This project really seems very rooted in place. Where does Madeleine Island fit in the migration story and the cultural history of the Ojibwe people?
Yeah, the Madeleine Island, Moninguinekaning, which translates to the home of the flicker, which is a bird. It is our ancestral center. It's still to this day very much a spiritual center of the Anishinaabe. If we look at the local regional kind of realm, you have 47% of the wetlands of Lake Superior just to the south of Madeleine Island, a short canoe paddle. The only wild rice beds on Lake Superior, that is the Kakagan Sloughs, as it dovetails into and is a part of the Bad River tribe. But you have the 47% of the wetlands, and then you have the expanse of the archipelago, which is the Apostle Islands themselves. This area is the most powerful convergence of diverse habitat in Lake Superior. And the biggest island of them all in the Apostles, Moninguinekaning, is what our ancestors chose as that final stopping place. And so it's just it's a powerhouse place that has all of the habitat, all of the fresh water, all of the food systems that anybody could ever need and more. It's a beacon. It's a beacon of beauty out in the lake proper. And it really kind of is the stronghold for that connectivity to Lake Superior. It is the foundation that served as a home out in the Big Lake. And when I think of that, you could imagine being like a giant of sorts, scraping everything off Madeleine Island. You would have this brownstone island, and I always look at that as a stone canoe out in a big lake that our people lived on. And from that stone canoe, that brownstone canoe, they jump into birch bark canoes. And the hit there is that they're always on the water looking back. And that really is the beauty of that old way of life, that beauty of looking through that lens of how they interacted with the natural world. You know, I was said, and Marvin spoke to it a little bit, we live in a place where the land and water love us back, and that's real.
Wow. Marvin, you don't live on the island, but you are traveling there every day to make this canoe. What does it mean to you to do this work right on Madeline Island?
It takes a little time getting here from my home in Red Cliff, but consider Madeline Island, Moniconic, my home also, because that's where our ancestors, you know, lived here also. So, you know, I think of that every time I come across. I think of the years and years of, and I often wondered, every time I come across too, is, I wonder how many birch bark canoes traveled across here to Madeline Island. You know, it must have been hundreds, you know, of our people, our ancestors that traveled here. So that's what I think of, and I'm blessed and honored to be able to build a story of a birch bark canoe, assisting in telling our story of our people, right where our ancestors lived here. And it's not often that we get to tell our story as we are doing here today. We're having an opportunity to tell our story about our people. That's what I think about every single day when I come here. And even when we're building the G-Mont out here too, we got a lot of visitors. And I often think of my dad. I had seven sisters, and he always told us, you know what, we're all in the same canoe. We're all in the same canoe, and what we need to learn is learn how to paddle together so we can get to where we're going. And I think of that when I build this canoe here on Madeline Island. And I hope that it tells a story of all of us, so all of us, no matter if you're indigenous or not, to be cognizant, to be mindful that we're all in the same canoe, paddling together.
That's beautiful. Well, the canoe is taking its maiden voyage coming up soon here in August. Marvin, what is that moment like for you to watch a canoe float on the water for the first time?
Well, I hope it floats. No, I'm just kidding. You know, it will, but I often look at, it's checking for leaks, and I mean that in a good way. You know, any canoe builder, we hope we put enough begue is pitch on it. And I look at when that canoe, birch bark canoe is on the water, the spirits of the lake, or the lake spirit of water, they look up and they see that birch bark canoe on the water, and I can imagine them smiling, you know, holy crap, we haven't seen this in a long time. That's what I look at, and I think that keeps the connection, the natural connection to the lake and to the water.
Mike, Marvin talked about building a story as people come through the museum and watch this canoe getting built, and you're going to be doing that maiden voyage. What does it mean for the museum and for you to be telling this story right now?
I think it's an honor to be a part of all of it. Sharing the struggle and the tribulations that our people went through to remain here in the Great Lakes is an honor. I think of, you know, what Chief Buffalo did and what our ancestors did in the 1854 treaty. They preserved peace, number one, and that can't be understated, because that was a real threat, the disruption of peace at that time. And then they carved out permanent homelands. The Lapointe Band that was on Madeline Island became Red Cliff and Bad River. Other tribal nations that we have around us were delineated and born, so to speak. And then the last thing is they retained the rights to hunt, fish, and gather. And so when I think about that little bundle of peace and home and the ability to live on the land, that they sent that forward seven generations and the ripple is still in effect, there's just a tremendous amount of gratitude. So to be able to talk about what transpired in a good way, to tell our story, as Marvin said, and to center, you know, the GMON and our connectivity to the lake. It's just such a, it's an honor, and it's just a really good feeling to remember and to send that gratitude back.
Mike, Marvin, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, it's an honor. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
That was Marvin Defoe, a Red Cliff elder and master canoe builder, and Mike Wiggins Jr. from the Madeline Island Museum. They spoke with WPR's Rochelle Wilson last week about the museum's Canoe Journeys project, where Marvin is hand-building a birch bark canoe in real time. That canoe is set to take its maiden voyage on Lake Superior. That's coming up later this month.